Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. An exciting day. We have a great panel for you. I can breathe. Things are good. I like it. it's a good day. Joining us for our panel this morning, check this out. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I'm all pumped up for this.
Excellent. I know you are. You bolted in here, and you've been doing calisthenics.
And I know. Ready to go. And I know that Brent is going to bring me my coffee, which is in the coffee machine where I left it.
and University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
And editor of the Daily Gazette, the ever wonderful Judy Patrick. Hello.
Hello, Joe.
It's wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much for being with us, as always. Enjoy it. Let's talk about, we have a million stories, but I guess and we'll start with you, Judy, because the big one for voters across New York State and then in other states, too, I know.
Sooner or later in other states.
Yeah, so it comes at different times, but it was the school budget votes, and a lot of them passed, a lot of them didn't.
You know, a lot of them passed, and a lot of them passed by pretty good margins, but we had in the area we cover, Niskayuna budget, that failed by a substantial margin. There were thousands of people that turned out. They said it was the highest turnout in 3 years, and they voted against that budget. That was one of the budgets that exceeded the tax cap, and so they needed more than 60% to pass the budget. When it came down to it, they didn't even get a simple majority. Only 44% voted for that budget.
Could you describe for our listeners what Niskayuna is like? I've always thought of it as a sort of Scarsdalian community.
Well, you know, it's a Gazette territory. Niskayuna is a suburb of Schenectady. It's in Schenectady County. It's a very high-profile school district where the students do really well. It's a wealthy district.
I was going to say rich people.
But it's full of retired people as well, who are concerned about their taxes going up. It's also filled with the young parents who want their kids to get a really good education. Some people voted against the budget because it cut important things that the parents wanted for their kids. Other people voted against the budget because it raised their taxes too high.
It's so interesting. You know, in my town of Great Barrington, I have to tell you, which is also sort of
Scarsdalian?
Well, it's becoming increasingly that way. It was recently named by Smithsonian Magazine as the number one town in America. It was.
I'm sorry.
What's so funny about that?
So, nationalism.
He's so proud.
It was. I just wanted.
Beaming. Yeah.
I wanted to
proud
mention
father.
That. But I have to. Well, you know, and they called somebody up to quote him. So, but I have to tell you that when it came up to whether we should take down a beautiful, modern sort of school and put up, and spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on just doing it again, the voters had no problem saying yes.
Yeah, it's South Colony, which was a big rival of Niskayuna and definitely not upscale and wealthy, also had a budget that exceeded the cap and voted. They got the 60% majority. So it's interesting what passes and what doesn't. And I understand in Niskayuna they're studying exit polls and trying to figure out where they went wrong. They'll put it back on the ballot.
You know, it's been said many times that people vote with their feet, because we know that if certain groups turn out, as Judy has just said, in an election, people who are concerned about their taxes and others, appropriately so, then you can lose. But when you have a very low turnout, then groups like the teachers unions, which are vitally concerned with the state of education and others, can control the election.
Exactly.
So the number of people who literally come out in a presidential election, you get less than half the people voting. So when you talk about a school board election, a handful can carry it.
And these are really big budgets and really important decisions are made, but you don't get the kind of turnout you get in a presidential or general election.
Well, I've also heard this described. Someone described this to me maybe 2 years ago or so as a vote between the have and have nots. And I said, oh, is this socioeconomic? And they said, no, whether you have a kid in the school or not.
I'm thinking, and you might yell at me for jumping topics here, Joe, but that if the Oklahoma City school, I know you're afraid of me. But Oklahoma City might be a good place to ask for a new budget in schools. The reports are showing that the two schools that were eliminated by the tornado tornado, did not have shelters because of a money problem.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Not only that.
In a tornado alley with little kids, and
not
there's
only
no
that,
place
but
to protect them.
But to divert even further from Joe's appointed task here, it is interesting that both United States senators,
yes,
as we know, voted against the Hurricane, yes, Sandy relief.
We mentioned that yesterday.
Yes.
And Imhoff, is that how you pronounce his name? I've only read it, not said it.
Well, there's a prominent attorney here who pronounced it was the same way. It's
yeah,
Imhoff, so we'll go with that.
And so he also is a climate change denier, too, which is a further irony to me, because there's this master giant tornado ripping through his own district.
Good point.
So in Oklahoma, would it have been the poor districts that couldn't have afforded
well,
the safe rooms?
Well, as I say, if the schools went now to voters and said, hey, let's put some bomb shelters or storm shelters in, you know, they would get the sympathy vote, I think, right now. There were children killed and buried in rubble because there was no place to keep them. Teachers were huddled in hallways with their arms around kids and in bathrooms.
I was watching The Other Morning Joe while on the Great Bike this morning.
Yeah.
The Other Morning Joe.
Get it?
Yeah. And they had this poor senator, not Imhoff, the other one.
Coburn.
Bill Coburn. Trying to justify this, and it's
he was saying the storm there was different than Sandy, yeah, which of course he voted against aid in Sandy.
But you remember that Peter King, who, you know, is a Republican in very good standing from Long Island and is a very high ranker in the United States Congress, was furious with his own party for going against Sandy. He really let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling he is he's sort of looking on this whole thing now. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've talked a lot about partisanship and a lot about, you know, how we get beyond the bickering and get to the issues. But, you know, you start talking about storm relief.
Yeah, I mean,
protecting
your citizens against disasters like this seems to be
really
one of the basic functions.
Shouldn't really be an issue, should
right,
it? You know,
yeah,
if a town gets leveled by a storm, of whether it's a coastal hurricane or a tornado, it seems, all right, you help them out so mm-hmm, they can rebuild and move on. While we are, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk more about what happened in Moore, Oklahoma. At the end of the day, yesterday, they pretty much tried to wrap up the rescue phase of this. And the good news to come out, of course, is that the death toll was lower, and I'd like to talk about that as an issue as well. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Stram Center for Integrative Medicine, Del Mar, New York, and Bennington, Vermont, offering naturopathic primary care, community acupuncture, medical massage, and holistic treatment for complicated health disorders, stramcenter.com. Handmade and More, New Paltz, specializing in spring-summer women's casual, professional, and weekend fashion from American-made designers such as Click, Comfy, and Eucalyptus, 845-255-6277, and on Facebook. And Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, offering annuals, vegetable plants, herbs, tropicals, perennials, temperennials, hanging flower baskets, tree fruits, and small fruits, WindyHillFarmInc.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our WAMC panel. We are talking about a wide range of issues, and we started off with school budgets. And if you missed it, Rosemary brought us down the path of tornadoes, and we started talking about Oklahoma. So I'd like to continue with that now, because we the news sort of to come out yesterday was about the death toll in as a result of the tornado, because we had been told on Sunday and Monday that there were dozens more bodies that were being looked for. They expected that the death toll to be half would be children. And then yesterday, literally and figuratively, the dust settled, they came down drastically on those numbers. And I don't know, is that just a nature of, so officials on Tuesday said that at least 24 people had died, including 9 children, 7 of them at Plaza Towers Elementary School. So those numbers down substantially from what was originally reported.
Yeah, well, please make it clear that for once, this was not a media error. Those were the estimates of emergency officials in the area, and it had to do with a bunch of people who were missing, and the officials counted them in the dead count, and when they were all found, that's why the numbers went lower and down. So that's good news.
It's absolute good news, except that for 36 hours, people were thinking that hundreds of people were...
Well, I mean, isn't that the same as 9/11, when 3,000 people or 5,000 or 10,000 were numbers being thrown around?
When you look at the photos, it's hard to believe it was just 24
exactly.
or 25.
It really is.
Did you see the ABC report? It was a great interview, and I'm not a fan of animal stories. I think they're really overdone and kind of mushy. I love animals, but not animal stories. But in this case, an elderly woman, very stoic, is talking to the reporter about how she and her dog went into the bathroom, and she sat on a little stool and held the dog, and she felt the stool lift up, and the next thing she knows, she's lying there covered in rubble, and the dog is nowhere to be seen, and she's kind of tearing up a little bit, saying, you know, this is what you live with if you live in Oklahoma. And as the reporter's talking to her, she goes, look, look, and there, out of the rubble, comes the little dog, a little schnauzer, and the woman rushes over and gets it out. It was the most heartwarming story that I have seen in a long time.
So you're not an
yes,
animal
I'm a softie.
Nothing else today. That is great.
See, I thought you'd like that, you dog lovers.
And that was a real moment?
It was a real moment, yeah, like... I ran down and showed it to my mother. She goes, "Did the reporter like put the dog there?" I said, "Oh no, come on, that's really too much."
I'm writing a column this moment about the miraculous escape of Murray from a very tough situation in New York City. And I know it's going to be a popular column because people love their
animals. Yeah, they do. In fact, in Florida, we did stories about missing children and abused children, and you'd get like one or two letters, and then you'd do something about euthanasia at the local shelter, and you'd get hundreds of calls. I don't know why it is that people respond more to animal abuse than children abuse stories.
Because
I know you've had
better
that
than humans. Everybody knows that.
Yes, everyone knows that. Let
us. They don't?
Well, you know, some people do. Mm.
Well, you do, don't you?
Well, I feel, I think we have our, I think we showed our divisions a couple of days ago on this show when we were.
Yeah, the Mother's Day tribute. Yes, I remember that. We're back on dogs again. Let's move to something
See?
Else.
See how quick she turns?
Look, you so clearly love your dogs.
Yes.
I mean, what is this recalcitrance here about dogs versus humans? There's no
he
question
doesn't
want
to incur my wrath.
There's no question that dogs are better.
I agree with you, but what I was saying is that not everyone agrees with you, and I was citing Rosemary as an example.
Oh, Rosemary, she has a CAT?
She has a CAT.
I'm ambidextrous. I like dogs and cats. I simply don't think they're news.
Are we discussing whether cats or dogs are better or humans are better?
We have to get serious again. Well, lose our audience here.
Well, all I know is that during one fun drive, and this is the end of this little thing, during one fun drive, when nobody was calling, the phones were fallow. And I went on. I said, okay, now we're going to have a contest. We're going to which are better, dogs or cats? All right, now I made Galletly, who doesn't like cats that much, I don't think, take the cat side because somebody had to take the cat side. I was going to take the dog side. Every phone in the place started up, and it went on forever.
People care about their animals. And not their kids or other people's kids.
I didn't say not their kids. They care about their kids.
I said that. After their dogs. I said that. The evidence that I've had is, I mean, you see it in school budgets. You see it in coverage.
No.
You can rouse people about animals
but don't
a lot
you think,
more easily.
Back to the school budget for a second. Don't you think that there comes a point at which people just can't pay the taxes? I mean, you know, I'm glad to pay taxes for our kids were.
Where were we?
Lost control of this program?
I completely lost it. We were talking about the tornado.
Oh, yeah, the tornado. Back to that.
All right. Take two. Ding, ding, ding. Let's go to the Senate Judiciary Committee approving bipartisan Gang of Eight immigration reform bill on Tuesday, sending the measure to the Senate floor for consideration and giving the bill's backers their first legislative victory, which is not something you hear about a lot, a legislative victory these days. So, what do you make of it?
Has a long way to go. And I talk about tangents. Congress was certainly, the Senate was certainly on that with the whole issue about gay marriages, which was Patrick Leahy introduced that you could be an American married to a Mexican, say, same-sex partner and get him over here. or her over here. And that was taken out of the bill. It was a poison pill, according to Republicans. They could never get support for that. So I thought that was a good move. But this bill has a long, long way to go before it gets passed, if it does.
Members of the Democratic-controlled panel voted 13-5 in favor of the measure. If enacted, the plan would constitute the first overhaul of the nation's immigration policy since 1986. How important is this when it comes to bipartisanship?
Well, there is no such thing as bipartisanship. What there is partisanship. And what happened is that the Republicans got their heads handed to them in the last election when, you know, the Hispanic vote went almost solidly for the Democrats. And all of a sudden, these guys looked in the mirror and they said, there are two things that we have to do something about. Women, because we're getting really hurt by that. I was going to use another word. We're getting really hurt by that. And then also immigration, because there are – this is a ticking time bomb. We know from the stats that the greatest majority will not be Caucasian after a while. It's going to be people of Hispanic origin. So therefore, it's going to be they're looking in the mirror and they're saying, in order to be partisan, we're going to have to win elections.
Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen in the House with this?
The House is working on its own bill, a whole separate bill.
Right.
So
how
that's why.
And how?
But
yeah,
it'll go to
It'll go to conference, perhaps.
I think in some ways it is similar.
You know, it's important to note this is like a almost 900-page document. It's
yeah,
like
it's
the health care bill. It's giant. It's complex. It's a mess, and it is far from the pure versions that we heard espoused by either side of this. It would take a 13-year path to citizenship. It remains to be seen how many people are going to even bother with that.
Oh, I think that the issue
is the first step, though.
I think, well, I think you're a little bit too cynical here, Rosemary. I think what's going to happen is if it's true, the path takes 15 years before you get citizenship, but you are protected in the course of that path in a way you would not be. Otherwise, in other words, you gain some legitimacy in that you're on the path.
You know, and this is a real issue in every town in upstate New York, every town in America. Sure. There are farmers really
Absolutely.
Rely on these immigrant workers, and it's an issue that they have to address. It affects their everyday life. You see people walking to the store miles because they can't get a driver's license because they're not in the country legally. It's a real issue.
Absolutely.
It takes people out of the shadows. And so I do applaud it as I do the health care measure as a first step, but it's a definitely flawed bill.
And as you said, a long way to go. We're going to take a break, and we will hear the latest from NPR News, and then we'll be back with many other stories. We welcome your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
And that gets posted, right? When somebody writes it.
Yeah, I got to go to the break. Four minutes, four stories. Better odds. We'll get them done. Welcome back to our panel. I'm Joe Donahue. Rosemary Mayo is to my left. Going around the table is Judy Patrick of the Daily Gazette and then Alan Chartok at the end of the row, as it were, at the end of the round table, the rounded table. And we welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We want to talk about a story that that came out of the courts yesterday. Photos of Osama bin Laden's corpse and burial at sea were properly classified by U.S. officials and can be withheld from the public, according to a federal appeals court. The U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington rejected arguments by Judicial Watch Incorporated, a conservative litigation group, that the CIA failed to show that releasing images of bin Laden's body, specifically those showing it cleaned and prepared for burial, would harm national security or reveal classified intelligence strategies. And I guess one of the interesting points to this, Rosemary, is why they wanted them kept secret.
Correct. We've been talking about the clash between First Amendment and national security interests for days. We certainly have had occasion to talk about that. And this is the first time I kept saying, what's the national security interest? What is it that we're giving up our rights for? And in this case, the court makes an argument, whether you agree with it or not. I love that there's an argument. And it was simply that these images would inflame anti-American movements and forces abroad and bring an increased risk of terrorist attack or retaliation against the United States.
And in fact, that's why I think the body, I mean, it's just what I surmised, why the body was dumped at sea to begin with. You know, the idea was you didn't want to have a, you know, a place where everybody came to do homage to the guy.
That's what the U.S. government said,
yes.
In fact.
No, I think that was their thinking. They may have been right. I don't know. Here again, we have similar thinking.
Now, we've seen bodies of dictators, dead dictators before, right? Saddam Hussein we saw?
Saddam Hussein's sons and Saddam Hussein we both saw.
But I guess Osama is different. He is it ratchets the level up quite a bit. Question is, you know, even people who still don't believe to this day that he's dead, would they have believed it if they saw this photo?
You know, the pictures are, he was shot in the head. These are really gory photos, according to the court.
52 of them, 52 images.
Right. That was the press argument was, you know, there's a certain proof here. But the court, you know, and I'm not necessarily in agreement with them. I'm in favor of openness in all cases, as you know. But at least they gave a reason. And here they're saying there's a history of pictures inflaming violence. And we had the cartoons that were printed in the Danish newspaper that resulted in rioting. We had a U.S. soldier is accused of violating the Quran. In prisons, and that set off riots and protests against
the United
States.
But your point is, it's a slippery slope, right? For information.
And 2 years ago, the president was on 60 Minutes and said that his direct quote was, "These are very graphic photos, and we don't trot out this stuff as trophies." Concern that Al-Qaeda's leader's corpse might be used by extremists as propaganda to incite
violence. Well, except
that
was a lie. We had done it when we killed Hussein's sons. It's just a lie. We did trot it out as a trophy.
But it was different.
Well, why? Because they're not Americans?
No. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm back, you know, to the original issue. Mm-hmm. And Bin Laden. I think that there's a strategy behind each and every one of these decisions. In the case of a discredited dictator and his awful sons, that's one thing. In the case of somebody who might cause violence, as in Bin Laden. And then there's one other thing I've been thinking about a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is this whole business of how he came to die. I mean, did he, put it another way, did he have to be shot in the head?
Yeah.
Or would he have come along had they, you know, taken him alive? And would that have caused even more, you know, people to pay attention to him and to his messages? So
and some of the accounts of how he died
murdered?
And they're basically in dispute. Yeah, yeah, so that's a good point.
And the other issue is, if we had the photos, would we print them?
Right.
Yeah. The gore, I mean, we don't print gory pictures of people shot in the head. We just do not.
Although they would be on the internet in a short
time. Oh, in a minute.
Yeah. Let's talk about another story that is, we'll do our last white toast story, and then we'll move on to the weird stuff. Let's talk about Apple real quick and their tax situation. Their tax strategies came under scrutiny Tuesday in the Senate, where lawmakers are finding it far easier to call for a simple tax code than to produce one. This according to the Wall Street Journal. Tim Cook, Apple's chief executive, defended the technology giant's tax practices, which Senate investigators say have led Apple to pay no corporate taxes on tens of billions of dollars in overseas income over the past 4 years. That's a long time and a lot of money.
So what's new? Judy, isn't there some corporation that you guys covered that didn't pay taxes?
Well, it all depends on how you define paying taxes, yeah. I guess. But General Electric has been criticized for some of their tax practices. Again, General Electric will say what they're doing is perfectly legal, as Apple is saying.
Well, of course it's perfectly legal. They send their guys up there. They do the tax code to benefit them. And then they say it's perfectly legal.
So if it's legal, what's wrong?
I have to agree. I hate the practice, but they do what we all do, which is you pay only what you have to.
Well, you're not exactly either GE, to be honest with you, or Apple. You're just, you know, a college professor who earns limited income, and we're the guys in the barrel who are supposed to support the system. And it's infuriating to me that the people who have the most, who make billions of dollars, do not pay their share of taxes.
Yes, it is infuriating, and we agree with you. However, Judy and I are saying the law is set up to accommodate that. You cannot.
And I'm saying that the law is purposely set up for a bunch of guys wearing suits from K Street who go down there and make the law there to their specifications so that they can do this.
The
and
laws
not
are actually made by congressmen who take money from those K Street lobbyists and who purport to be favorable towards businesses that provide jobs. GE and Apple provide a lot of jobs. So Republicans, you know, what's the problem?
I'm done. I think people who are listening can know your position and mine. And thank you very much.
It's not really a position because we agree on the problem here, but the fix is not to bring in Tim Cook and hound him in Congress for doing
I don't
what
agree
they've
with
allowed
that.
Him. It's to change the law.
I don't agree with that, and I'm sorry to have to re-enter the combat here. But the reason that I don't agree is that when you bring in a guy like that and it makes the headlines—
Yeah, but who's
people,
bringing him in?
The Congress.
The same guys who allowed
him. Yeah, but the
him
same
to.
Guys who allowed it to—
Well, I think some do. You're right, but some do.
I mean, is it covering your
yes
assets, as it were?
Doesn't matter. It's all to the good. The point is, the headlines are going to be that they didn't pay taxes, and then average Joe, you, or anybody like you, you're hardly average.
Then what happens? We get upset about it, and what do we do? As you point out, we don't have the clout of GE. Are you saying that GE and Apple should go and say, look, you know, we make a lot of money. We really want the government to have more. Here you go. Take more than we're... I mean, that's the Warren Buffett solution.
Well,
it won't work.
Well, my argument is that when the American people get very angry, or the New York State people get very angry, and they put pressure for one reason or another, it can really turn things around.
Yeah,
I'm
like
not going
control,
to
that worked.
Or fracking. I'm not going. Well, it did work in New York State.
It just seems that the from the press coverage that came out of what happened yesterday with Apple is that there was a consensus among those in the committee that the tax code is a mess.
Although Apple wants to just lower the corporate rate and not rewrite the whole entire code.
Right.
Well, surprise, surprise, the tax code is a mess. I'm
yeah,
shocked.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But it's probably a one-day story. It's in one-day story, and we'll move on. I think the IRS auditing story has longer legs here.
Yeah, certainly,
even
then
the coverage
Apple,
of the Apple story moved right directly into the IRS story. You're right.
Well, it's not either or. I think the more of this, the better. That's what I think.
We're going to take a break, and we will be back, and we will talk about some interesting stories, and we welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Turning Stone Resort, offering hotel accommodations and golf, as well as spa treatments, racket sports, dining, entertainment, and nightlife, turningstone.com. Ophthalmic Consultants of the Capital Region, ophthalmologist Dr. Asher Weiner, glaucoma specialist, performing minimally invasive glaucoma, laser, and cataract surgery, ophthalmicconsultants.com. And the American Hotel in Sharon Springs, New York, serving dinner Thursday through Sunday beginning at 5 p.m., on Sunday brunch from 8 to 2, and afternoon meals 11:30 to 4, americanhotelny.com.
One of our panel members just accused another panel member of being petulant. 1-800-3-
Just for the record, it was Rosemary who accused me of being petulant.
You hear the opposite sign. You don't argue it back. You just say, I'm taking my toys and going.
Not exactly. I came back, even although I threatened.
We have this news story just in, and we'll have more on this coming up at 10 o'clock. But Massachusetts Lieutenant Governor Timothy Murray is expected to resign.
Ooh.
To take a private job reportedly in Worcester. So we will find out more about that coming up at 10 o'clock.
And that's an important story because he says he's not going to run for governor anyway. So that's what he did. One day he called here. The governor was supposed to be on the phone, and I said, I picked up the phone and I said, Governor? He said, no, it's Tim Murray. And I said to him, who are you? Are you the flack? He said, people say that to me all the time. Who he?
Ouch. All right. Here are two stories that I really want to talk about because they're just great. Let us begin with the story out of the Vatican. The Vatican came out with a press release yesterday and a strong denial that Pope Francis, our new Pope, They're denying claims that Pope Francis performed an exorcism. TV images showed a man apparently reacting to him, putting his hands on his head. This encounter was during Sunday Mass. It was shown on TV, a TV channel owned by the Italian Bishops' Conference. The station quoted exorcists as saying that there was no doubt that the Pope had either performed an exorcism or a prayer to free the man from the devil. The director later apologized for having altered the truth. The Pope's spokesman said he did not intend to perform, and this is the greatest line I love, he did not intend to perform any exorcism.
An inadvertent exorcism.
Yes.
It happened spontaneously with the laying on the hand. But I have to tell you, as someone born and raised in the Catholic faith, this was definitely not an exorcism. If you look closely at the TV image, you saw no spinning of his head or spitting of green vomit.
Right.
Obviously was not what he said.
I am staying so far out of this, I can't even tell.
Well, now, the footage shows a young man who is in a wheelchair, and he is opening his mouth and either breathing deeply or screaming silently, if there is such a thing, as the Pope puts his hands on his head and prays for him during a Mass in St. Peter's Square. The man then convulses for a short period of time and then slumps in his chair. So on Tuesday, the director of the TV station, which broadcast the pictures, TV 2000, apologized for the report, saying that, "I don't want to attribute to him a gesture that he did not intend to perform. And I apologize for having altered the truth of the facts," which I don't know that he actually altered, because he was giving an opinion of what he
was. Well, it wasn't even an opinion, wasn't it? He was quoting other experts in the Vatican on exorcism.
And religious figures in Rome have insisted that the act was indeed an exorcism. And that included the Vatican's former chief exorcist, Gabriel Amorth, who was quoted by Italian media as saying the act, quote, was an exorcism, all right.
Yeah.
And that he had since performed his own exorcism on the young man whom he said he was calling Angelo.
Was the problem that they broadcast the footage?
I think that they broadcast the footage was okay. The fact that they then labeled it as an exorcism. And then that is when the Vatican came in, and I guess basically wanted a retraction from that.
I think the Vatican is aware that in matters of faith, it's easy to make fun of Catholics as it is of Muslims or Jews or any other religion. The Church believes in miracles. That's to outside observers ridiculous, as is this whole idea of exorcism. And yet it's a matter of faith, and people believe it, and I guess you have to be respectful of that.
But this is what, you know, this is what I don't understand as a Catholic myself, of you have this ancient practice of driving out demons and evil spirits from a person or a place that they are thought to possess. And yes, there's been skepticism, but why then do you not own up to that?
Why don't you own up to the skepticism?
No, why do you not? Why are they staying so far away from the exorcism word?
Because he's a new pope and it hurts his image, makes him look foolish. That's easy. On the other hand, my mother is convinced that a demon lives inside her computer. And if there are real exorcisms, please call me.
Mine too.
What?
Same demon.
Same demon? Yeah, he gets around.
Yes, it's a in-demand demon, as it were. Let us talk about Disney for a moment. This story has been around for about a week, and unfortunately we haven't been able to get to it, but the new thing that came out yesterday was the director of this film, Brave. Pixar is a division of Disney. Mm-hmm. They're popular for the Toy Story movies and a lot of other wonderful films, of course. And they have this film, Brave. And so the film came out. The film is out, and they had the princess in the film. And so now they have a new toy line. And Disney glammed up, glammed up the princess from the fairy tale. So we have the pictures here, and you can go readily find them online. But in the movie, she has a bow and arrow. There's a quiver of arrows. Her hair is
messy.
It sort of drops to the side. Yeah, she's a little chubby, maybe.
Mm-hmm. No boobs.
No. And then the fighting apparatus is gone. She has a lower cut.
Cleavage.
There is cleavage. There are
a pinched waist. When in the movie, the little girl talks against.
I don't know
dresses.
If you've seen this. Yes. Yeah. And then the hair is just out of control.
It's tousled.
Okay, so what do we make of this, of altering of our cartoon characters?
Disney's never done good with good girls.
No, it's all about money. Yeah. You know, they do their research, do their stuff, and they find out.
But you had a movie, and it's successful, and you have a character, and you don't change. I mean, there was a joke on Saturday Night Live where they showed Goofy with abs. You know, it's like, you know, at this point, you know, we know what the characters look like. So then why do you have to change it?
Well, because if you're in the biz, I'm sure you sit around and you come up with ideas about marketing and what will market better. And we'll look to somebody with showing all those attributes that Rosemary just listed, you know, do better than somebody who doesn't have that. So do you have to go further than to Barbie and to all of that success and what they've done with those images over the years?
You know, but it negates the good things that the movie was trying to do, which is to give young girls a powerful role model, model that this girl could do things. She could take care of herself.
She was the first Disney model of a good girl who was interesting. All the rest are like simpering little, you know, ooh, help me.
And why do you think
Snow
that
White.
Is?
Because
Disney has been bought into it. You know, I would say it was sexist, except that, of course, it was the view of our whole society at that time, that women were quiet and laid back. Except, oddly, Disney's bad women are very cool. The evil witch in Cinderella, the evil stepmother in Cinderella, the witch in Snow White. These are
Little Mermaid.
The big fat octopus woman.
That is a great villain.
Yeah, so they did bad women, but the good girls, the model of what we should be, of what little girls should be, was always kind of, you know, sexualized and passive.
So this movie comes out, and it's a success. The movie is a success, and the whole thing, not only was this movie trying to change that image, but it was also trying to, I mean, look, they're not trying to do the good of the world here. They're also trying to make money. So the idea was also for the film to appeal to both boys and girls. So now when it comes down to selling the stuff, selling the merchandise, which they assume is now going to be sold more toward girls than boys, that's when they sexualize the character.
Right.
And
also, I'm not sure that it's true that you have to be Barbie to sell. Princess Leia is a strong, empowered leader and a woman. She's not overly sexualized. And she's immensely popular, too. She's sold lots of Star Wars toys.
So you would deny that those guys are sitting around, and including some women, I'm sure, sitting around in the Disney offices saying, now we got to sell the dolls, and this is the way we're going to do it.
No, I don't deny that. I think that's probably what did happen. But now we have a protest that shows maybe the consumers are talking back, and it's time to listen and change.
Well, I think if they see it happening, you know, you're right. I doubt they're going to see it happening. I think that they're thinking, you know how they do this. I don't have to tell any of you. They go out, they ask questions, they poll like crazy, they see what people want, and they give it back to them.
It just seems to me, it seems like a dumb thing to do. Like it's just bad practice to do, because Disney makes such a fuss over that these characters were created this way and not to alter them in any way, shape, or form. And then just a year after this film comes out, okay, we're going to change the character and how they look. And really the whole perception of the character.
My argument rests.
And understand, little girls play with these dolls. They handle them, they look at them, and they see how small the waist is, and they look at the hair and the cleavage, and it's a subtle image, but it gets ingrained in them every hour they play with those dolls, and it will be hundreds of hours they'll play with them.
I know my niece will often, who's 6 years old, will go in and has spurned Barbie because it doesn't. She said, "I don't know, that doesn't look like anybody I look like." And now there's these goth dolls. They have like these Franken dolls or whatever they are. And she's like, "Oh yeah, that's much more." Well, no, but you know, they look normal. You know, the kids have normal hair, and you can.
All of Disney is kind of scary. The kids read those stories, and then when you ask them to tell their own story, it's just Disney recycled. It like takes control of your brain. It's our folklore and our fairy tales are all Disney generated. That's a little frightening.
Well, it is. As is going to Disneyland, where it's the happiest place on earth.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I mean, that's all part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Since Alan has rested, we must move on and thank everyone for.
What?
Well, you know.
Your time's not to say anything if you don't. If
no, you said you've rested your case and.
Oh, I rested.
I think we.
I thought you meant I was slumped down in my chair.
No.
Which he was.
Yeah. Well, that too. Judy, thank you very much for coming in today.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. I assume we'll see you in a week or two. Whenever the fun drive, before or after, something like that. We have next week and then the fun drive, so I guess we'll probably see you right after.
Speaking of the fun drive, Lockbox.
Yeah, Lockbox, WAMC.org, and you can get into the Lockbox. We've got 20 seconds, so my thanks to Rosemary, and my thanks to Judy, and of course, Alan. And yes, Lockbox, Roundtable, WAMC.org, and if you want to comment on anything today, Roundtable at WAMC.org.